you for joining us for live paranormal radio. From the paranormal to the unexplained, it all happens here.
It all happens here.
Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in our live video chat 24/7 with our live paranormal radio show host and other like-minded people. Live. Paranormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interaction Media. Stop by now and join the fun.
Stop by now and join the fun.
It's Raising the Vibration right here on Live Paranormal Radio. We're at liveparanormal.com. RaisingTheVibrationRadio.com. Raising the Vibration, of course, is an outreach of my nonprofit movement of peace, love, kindness, and unity, which is at RaisingTheVibration.org. I'm Sheena Metal. I'm your host all this hour and every Tuesday at 5 o'clock Pacific time right here on the Live Paranormal Network. Raising the Vibration, it's about ascending. It's about evolving. It's about inspiring. And it's about loving everything and everyone and raising the global vibration through just that. And every week on the show, I pick out like-minded souls that I love and adore who are interested in service, in give back, in looking at the world as one human family, at the human race as one human family, at the creatures of the earth as one global family, oftentimes in a spiritual way, staying in touch with higher power, not necessary for this show, but oftentimes it gets woo-woo, and I'm sure it will again today. I'm a psychic medium. I'm an interfaith minister. I'm a 26-year talk radio host. You can find everything out about me at SheenaMetalSpiritual.com. And I'm very happy and thrilled to say that whenever I do a new venture and I'm looking for some of my favorite people to pull into it, this lovely person always comes to mind. She's a fantastic creative being, a wonderful actress and creator, also a fantastic spiritual being, an activist and an advocate, and just one of my favorite people in the whole world. Please welcome to Raising the Vibration my amazing friend, Rae Dawn Chong. How are you, my friend? It's so great to have you here. What an honor.
Thank you. I'm thrilled to be here. Mazel tov. Congratulations on your new airspace. Yeah.
Thank you. I found a beautiful home where I belong, and this has been a strange year, right, my friend? This year of COVID.
Yeah. Well, a strange year is really putting it mildly. It has been the Tower card. It has been such. It has been so abstract, and I think that we're all in shock. To be honest, I think there is a collective trauma, and I keep saying that in all my postings. You know. We are in trauma. We are in trauma. And I had a friend who I really love and respect, and she said, I've never had trauma in my life. And I thought to myself,
wow,
just her saying that was traumatic to me.
Yes, I have trauma
And it made me realize, you know, not only does it take a huge soul to be able to surrender and admit that, you know what,
yes,
things aren't great. Things aren't good. I didn't have a wonderful childhood that I thought I might have had. Ooh, you know what? I'm not really feeling good in my skin. What am I? Who am I? Why am I here? You know, all those wonderful, what I consider that the beginning. I consider a person, you're not even a person until you have had that dark night of the soul moment when you question everything.
Absolutely.
Right?
And I don't know about you, and I don't know if we've ever talked about this before, but I, from like you, was acting from a very young age, creating, started playing music when I was 4. I was probably about in my late 20s, early 30s, when I realized that I had spent so many years of my life perfecting myself as a creator, as an artist, that I hadn't really given a whole lot of time to perfecting myself as a person. Everything had gone into the art, and there was not a whole lot left for me. And I kind of had, that was a kind of a little bit of a weird night of the soul where I went, wait a minute, I guess it never occurred to me that being a person is just as important.
Well, exactly. And you know something? Yes. When I was 28 years old, I moved to Woodstock, New York, and I had no idea that I was in the shape that I was in until I met this person, a woman, Nadia Beck, who is a passport helper, and she just looked in my eyes and she basically just read me. And she said some things that were so powerful, and I wanted to kill her, actually. And that is a really good moment. That's when you know that your life is about to change for the good. If you meet somebody who pulls up some of your stuff that you think you're hiding, and she read me perfectly, and I remember being a little frightened and very, very distrustful, but I kind of a smaller but stronger voice said, follow her, do what she tells you to do. And I did, and I never looked back, and it was a complete deconstruction. I found out that not only did I not know who I was, but that I was, in fact, pretty skinless and traumatized and had grown up in an environment that was just, there was no way to have a foundation. And I was raised by beautiful people who also in their own path had no foundation. And I think that that's a very common story in America and in the world, is that we're raised by shattered beings. We're birthed into this world by shattered human beings who themselves need a foundational redo. And so it's a cycle of shattered person to shattered person to shattered person. And our cultures, no matter who you are, no matter what ethnicity, our cultures are not set up to have that moment where we get to look at it and see if we indeed are limping. You know, people just assume because you're a grown-up that you're a grown-up. No. People just assume because you've gone to university or have PhDs that you're intelligent. No. You know, all these things don't necessarily mean the things we project on them. Just like this guy that we just got through, the 4 years of a nightmare, people assumed he would, you know, do all these things. He never did. Because you can't do what you can't do. Right?
Yes. Yes, you're right. No, you're right. And I think also because of, I don't know, something you said in the last two sentences reminded me a lot of narcissism and living with it. I don't know what it was. But when
because in our culture,
of a narcissistic being. No, I'm totally kidding. I know why.
Yeah.
When we are under the thumb of a narcissistic being, whether that being is a president or a pastor or a parent, whatever it is, the three P's, right? We learn to survive. We pull inside, we knuckle down, and we survive. But then people find after how many months, weeks, years, decades, that they have just been surviving and not really living. And I think a lot of the dark night of the soul comes.
Yes.
Right. When you're breaking out of that crust that you put around yourself to survive, and you're actually thinking about what it feels like to live and sometimes feel like you're breathing for the first time. You know, I had a friend once say to me, there's a horrible a horrible bipolar illness. And he fought meds and fought meds and fought meds. And finally, he was hospitalized and had to go on meds. He called me up about, you know, 3 weeks after he'd been on the meds. And he said, I feel like somebody just gave me prescription glasses for my brain. Like, for the first time in my life, I feel like I can see. And I really feel that's what it is sometimes when you break out of that crust, right? You break out of that surviving.
If you're blessed, You can do this one simple thing, and it sounds corny as all get out, but it really does work. If you pray for help, if you ask your posse of angels for help, it comes, and it comes quickly. If you mean it, and if you do it with absolute commitment, you know, somebody recently was called me and wanted some help or guidance, and she was on and off homeless. But, you know, this is a very beautiful, very powerful, very creative, just a powerhouse person. But those one vibrational, I don't know how to describe it, but I felt like I felt like just in terms of her, like if you were to look at a person as just like an undulating vibratory color, I felt that in her colors, she had one discordant tone, and that discordant tone was dominating everything else. You know what I mean? And anyway,
yes.
I'm being sort of really woo-woo, but what
no,
I wanted
I,
to say
no,
to
no,
her...
No, please, so, you're in the right place, baby.
So she was calling me and telling me her saga, but I kept sort of going back to this thing of, I felt like she had forgotten that all we have to do, no matter how horrendous, is just go one in that moment in the now, in that one moment in the now, and ask, and don't project. Don't keep reminding your being where you are. Don't keep measuring. Just in that, just reduce your now, reduce your who you are, your ism, to just the moment. And right that in that moment, ask for help. Ask for guidance. And don't demand it. Don't say how you want it to come. Just be humble. And, you know, I know that sounds really like, oh, Radon, you can say that because you're Radon Chong, or, you know, people have said that to me. Oh, you have money. You don't have to worry. You know what? I have been in situations where I didn't have money, where I wasn't Radon Chong, where it didn't matter if I was Radon Chong. You know what I mean? I was so gone in my misery. There was no movie actress. There was no daughter of. There was no wife, mother, nothing. I had no id. And in that moment, all I could do was say, uncle. And I don't mean calling for an uncle. I mean, I surrender. I'm on my knees. I'm in an absolute puddle of there's nothing. There was no ego, nothing. And you know what? Promptly, I was given guidance. And it comes in funny little weird ways, you know, whether it's something that you know, in my case, I was in Manaus, Brazil, getting ready to go do a movie. When we were waiting for this plane to get prepared or repaired, whatever. And I was in a hotel and I was on the floor just weeping. So much was not working for me in an existential way. And I remember looking up from my surrender, and I looked up, and right at that moment, a whole pod of like pink river dolphins, because I was in a motel that was right next to the Amazon. And these pink river dolphins shot up. And now, you know, that's amazing. Now, I'm not saying that will happen to everyone, but that was a really nice God shot. I thought, you know, that, thank you. Yes. Okay. And I was able to get up and finish the film and do what I, but I remember at that moment I was reduced to zero, and it's scary. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And it happens to all of us. And talking about this COVID year, you know, one of the things I think about, and I tell my clients all the time, you expect the unexpected, right? You never know on your spiritual path what's going to be the next obstacle that you need to overcome for your growth. And sometimes I think we're not supposed to be sedentary. Do you know what I mean? We're not supposed to be in a place where nothing ever changes. Change is actually good. And we have to learn that that's a good thing. And that's very much what this year has been about for me. It's been a year of massive change.
Well, and also, too, can I say something? I was listening to Greta Thunberg speaking to, I think it was Mehdi Hassan and his new show. I like him so much. And Mehdi Hassan was speaking to Greta. And Greta was, she's 18? She said, you know, he was talking about climate and he was talking about the crisis that it is. And she said something that I think it was the most crystal clear thing. She said, the problem is that no one treats climate crises like a crisis. And you in America are still not reacting like a crisis. And she said, I don't know what to tell you to do, but it is a crisis. And I was thinking, you know, this COVID virus, part of the climate disruption. They don't know if it came from a lab, if it's from bats and from bats and pigs and whatever. They don't know really where it came from, but it is here. And it is part of a climate disruption, which means, hello, America. We are living in a crisis. Forget just the COVID-19 problem. This is just the beginning. Like, everyone's like, oh, I can't wait till this is over. You don't understand. California doesn't have enough water. We live in a place where it is industrialized food manufacturing, in which they are using chemicals and there's plastics in our food system that is breaking down. We are about to hit so much drama. And, you know, she's right. We're not treating it like the crisis that it is. It is a friggin' house on fire crisis. And yes, COVID is COVID, but it is part of that crisis.
Yes, Yeah, you're right. And you're right about the fallout from it that you talked about in the beginning.
And people should be, we should be preparing. Like, you talk about change. Everything that you think is your way, your life, your it's about to even be more thrown up in, you know, into turmoil. And so, you know, I often say to my boyfriend, I often say, I look around, I go, if we had to leave in 5 minutes, what would you bring? And that's a big question for us because we're both very attached. We're both hoarders. We have so much crap in our house. And, you know, I don't know. It's a good question. I think people should ask that question. If you had to leave your house in 5 minutes, what the hell would you bring? Because that may be something that occurs. You know, just like looking at the January 6th thing, I don't think America, I know for a fact, America does not, we have not dealt with the trauma of seeing the Capitol insurrection that we saw. You know, so really and truthfully, what we're all living right now is we're all these numbskulls, literally numbskulls, running around pretending, you know, everything's going to be cool. We're all going to get vaxxed and it's going to go back to normal. It's just not. We just had an insurrection. You know, my little Asian grandchildren have to be, I'm nervous for my family. I'm nervous for, you know, myself. I'm nervous for all of us. Because I think that even though, you know, I'm blessed, like, I sit there and I say to the universe, thank you so much for giving me such a soft pillow with which to raise hell and to hopefully, the only way I can say thank you to the divine beings that have guided me back to earth is to just pay it forward and say, hey, you know what? The sky may not be actually falling, but the sky's fucking falling. And we have to be ready. We have to have a spiritual practice. We have to be agile. We have to be nimble. You know, the one thing, I don't know if you ever saw it's so good. It's Oliver Stone interviewed Putin for HBO.
Oh yeah. I think we've talked about that on the air before. Yeah, it's wonderful and scary and fantastic and awful.
Well, he said something really important, and it was the main thing. Two things I got. One was that he's a snake in the grass, and he waits and waits and waits until he bites you.
Sure, yeah.
The other thing I got was that he was right. He said, you know, you Americans, you're not nimble. And if you look up what's the definition of nimble, look it up. It's a great word.
Yeah.
And we're not nimble.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and we hold on to things. Talk about being hoarders. We're emotional hoarders. We never let anything go. Everything is still a problem. Everything is still a worry. Everything is still and you talk about the mass malaise and melancholia and fear wave that's come from the year of COVID. We still aren't over the melancholia from 9/11. We're still holding on to that and we haven't let that go. So
not only
it's like we're
not only 9/11. We haven't. America is never going to. America, as an elite white culture society, is never going to heal or get over it because it was built on genocide. It was built on slavery. It was built on the dark. It's the darkest place. This is the Euro elite, the way our structure is now. Oh, America is due. I don't know if you've ever played the game Risk. Have you ever played Risk? So
yeah, sure,
Risk.
Of course.
Yeah. You can never hold America. It has too many borders. And it's sort of in a weird way like an oracle, that game, because you can always build armies from the Polynesia, right? Because those little islands, those purple islands. But when you say risk, you can never hold America. And I think, you know, people, first of all, I think the only way that people, human beings, and, you know, you can deeply disagree with me, but I personally, the only way I keep my sanity is by believing in reincarnation.
Okay.
Because
I believe in reincarnation firmly. I don't know if it's how I keep my sanity, but firmly believe in reincarnation.
Okay, so I believe in it. I think that, in fact, you know, we're billions of years old, each of us individually and as a collective.
Sure.
And and so when I look at the history of this particular country and I look at America and I look at this, you know, I really do think, oh, you know, so
for the last 9,000 years, maybe 12,000 years, we have been a patriarchal society. And so it doesn't surprise me that we're at a dead end. We have pretty much decimated everything, and we're looking at the sixth extinction. But having said that, though, if we are infinite beings in a continuum, big deal. What have we learned? What do we learn? You've got COVID,
right.
You die. That's very sad. It's sad you can't see your family, and it's traumatizing. But I hope that when you go to the other side, because I think immediately, the second we drop this carcass, we're working. We're off doing what we got to do. I don't think there's a minute
Absolutely.
Of room.
I don't
so,
either.
Yeah.
I don't
and
either.
So when you think
this
about
is what I hope we've learned from COVID. I hope we've learned from COVID that you, me, somebody living in France, somebody living in Africa, somebody living in Chile, we're all having the same problem with the same thing right now. So my life and your life and somebody else's life, it's all the same life, because when it all comes down to it, the basic inner yearn of humans is existence, is continuing to exist. And now something is threatening all of our existence. It doesn't matter who you are, where you come from, who you sleep with, what color you are, where you worship. We're all the same in the sense that none of us want to get COVID.
Well, the thing is, though, here's another crazy thought, okay? Not only do we not want to get COVID, it's not normal. We shouldn't even have to be dealing with it on any level.
Of course.
Like, our natural state is so high. The true vibratory place we want to be vibrating at is so much higher than the vibration of this fucking weird thing that we're dealing with. Like, it is,
yes.
If you think about it, I feel this, like, just such a low, thick, you know, destructive, foreign, viral setup that it's like, dude, it doesn't surprise me that creepy guy who was the president 5 seconds ago, that he ignored it, and actually in some ways I feel like he loved it, because there's something so dark about where he dwells that it doesn't surprise me. So I personally think that the vibration that is COVID is so much thicker and lower than what we normally, human beings, we are made from stars, we are carbon, we are made from the same structure as a celestial body. And that's what we are, as celestial bodies. And the only, you know, sin is our forgetting who we are. Our only sin is that we will vibrate lower and slower than we need to, because our natural state is being part of the sun. We are as strong and as powerful and as luminous as the sun.
Absolutely. But don't you agree that there is something about, there's a universal lesson, a spiritual lesson, right? A God lesson in all of us being forced to go through the same thing at the same time. Because so much of the downfall of humanity is the us and them separatism, right? Well, that's not going to happen to me. That only happens to you. Or, oh, that's not a problem with me. I got plenty of money. Or, that's not a problem for me. I'm white. Or, that's not a problem for me. I'm a man.
But, you know, it's
well,
so crazy.
What? Now everybody gets COVID.
I know. It's really fascinating. And everybody gets ignorance. I mean, 74 million people believe in all this weird shit. Like, the guy didn't. I mean, there's so much weird stuff going on. And
there
we're
is.
Part of those
there
people.
There is.
We cannot reject the other side, because there is a part of us. I mean, yes. We will get the
right.
Leverage.
So many of the COVID deniers got COVID. I mean, if that isn't what my mama used to call God having a sense of humor, I mean, I don't know what is. My mom used to always say when I was real little, you watch, sweetheart. You watch, because God has a sense of humor, and you'll see it. Well, people going, there's no COVID. There's no COVID. Oh, my God, please give to my GoFundMe. I got COVID. I mean, come on. Really?
Not only GoFundMe.
To me,
not
that
only,
is.
What about the guys that went to those? What about the people who died of it? Who died alone in their apartment still denying it? They didn't. I mean, there's
I
so much, like, shocking behavior. What about the people that are still giving this guy money? They have no money, and they're giving all their money to this con man. I mean, the level
the level that we're at right now is pretty shocking. I just want to walk around and I put out what I call psychic hugs. I just hug people.
Yeah,
and
me too.
I'm trying to be
me
present
too. Constantly.
And as generous.
Yep,
I'm hugging
too.
Us.
Me too.
And I'm saying, bless our hearts, you know.
Yep.
Somebody showed me a picture of that little footage of Piers Morgan, you know, storming off stage. And I was thinking, bless his heart, because he's just so toxic and hideous. And I was thinking that he represents part of the male patriarchal white privilege, white supremacy that is struggling. It's in its death throes. And I don't know that we can eradicate any kind of bigotry, but I know that we can at least ignore it and reduce it and have it starve itself. Because when these people get their way, there's nothing fun. There's nothing life-affirming. They're like the anti-creative, you know? Yeah.
Absolutely true.
Crazy,
yes.
It's
but
crazy.
Going to emerge better from this. I mean, I really do. And I know I'm always kind of the cockeyed optimist of the two of us. But I really believe that we are going to emerge better from this. For having had this universal global experience, which we as humans need to have more global experiences. You know, we're never more buddies when there's a world war and it's the good fighting against the bad. Well, this is even bigger than a world war because we're all on the same side. Everybody's on team not COVID.
I know. And I got to say, in truth, that's one of the most fun things about this tough thing. Is that, that is a unifier. It's a negative, what do they call it? A negative experience, a negative pleasure to be, we're all together in this team COVID. You would think there'd be more unity, but yes, yeah.
There'd be more unity with people. I always think there's going to be more unity than there is with people.
Yeah.
I keep hoping
getting
there. But I remember when I first founded this movement, and you've been with me since the beginning, where people would scream at me for saying the word unity. Like, why did you put that in there? That's a bullshit word. You know what?
Well,
isn't that bad? And I that we're hearing more about unity.
No, but you know what I was going to say, Sheena, is that my girlfriend, who's a great spiritual teacher and a therapist, she says, never underestimate the attachment we have to negative pleasure. Like, in other words, people will vote for a man who is incapable of doing anything positive and will destroy them and kill them with a disease. They will still support this man because it is what they know, it is who they are, or they think, and this is all they know and they will not change. So women will stay in relationships with people who beat them up and want to kill them and kill them. You know, it just goes and goes and goes and goes. So it's an addiction.
Right.
It's an addiction to negative pleasure. You know, somebody once.
Yeah.
The vibration of love is the same consistency as molasses. And when you take it's lovely and warm. It takes practice to be able to receive it. It is so good for you. It feeds you. You're never, ever, ever without it. When you learn how to receive love. And,
absolutely.
You know, this is the thing that we need tutorials on. This is the thing we need in all of our curriculum. We need some cultures on the planet teach love and sweetness and compassion. And, you know, these are words that are considered weak, but indeed they are the strongest. And this is in our culture of greed, avarice, money, covetousness, insensitivity, and all the other, you know, dark, dense. They're not even really dense. They're just like things that people know. They're more familiar. Love feels like molasses. And indeed, it's more of a nuclear energy. I don't know. But I think that that's what we have to keep teaching is how to receive love and how to feel safe. And how to feel safe in love. And how when it's all going really well, that you're not looking for it to end, but you're looking for it to multiply and to keep like all good things to just keep unfolding.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right. You know, I find sometimes with my clients and you know, I would say probably 80% of my practice is people with love problems. And sometimes as they're trying to get into the love, right, if they're trying to solidify the new relationship, they're verbally processing the breakup. Like, they're not even in yet, and they're already planning how it's going to end. And they're not the one planning to end it. It's like they're planning how they're going to get dumped, and they're not even in yet. And I think that we do that, right? We're waiting for the pot of shit at the end of the rainbow. Do you know what I mean? We're waiting for, well, even if I get in this, here's how it'll probably end. I'll probably get dumped because he'll meet somebody better looking, or something will happen. Or it's like, and I tell people, first of all, thoughts are things, right? It's cliche, but it's true. And secondly, the universe is a mirror. And if you're always telling the universe, this is never going to last, this is never going to work, this is never going to last, this is never going to work, sometimes spirit's like, oh, it's not going to last and it's not going to work. Okay. So this constant,
crazy,
like,
right?
And yeah, it's the same thing with this fear wave now, right?
Our biggest fear. Reinforcing.
Yes.
But you know what the thing is,
right,
though, too? I don't, have you noticed this in your practice? I know I've noticed this in just my friendships, but we get really nervous when we're faced with our hand on the proverbial trigger.
Yes.
You know, when people, their life isn't working, they're da-da-da-da-da-da-da. If you look at someone who's single, like chronically single, they do not like to know one of the things that is chronic about their singleness is that they keep rejecting the people. They keep, you know, putting up all these do not trespassing signs, metaphorically. And to explain to someone in the sweetest, simplest way, or, you know, you have to keep kind of going at them, or, you know, like my friend who said she's never had, didn't have trauma growing up, or didn't, whatever she said. This woman is so complicated, and for her to finally see and allow the look in the mirror to see, you know what, I hate my mother. Like, I know for a fact this particular person had a horrendous relationship with a woman who constantly put her down growing up. What the hell is that? That's trauma. You know, all
yes.
of us have had really horrible things happen to us. Now, you know, you can't measure it against somebody else's trauma, but we've all had trauma. And by the way, we've all said yes to life. That is immediately going into what the Hindus call, you know, dharma. You're immediately, you know, you're in the polarity. So we've agreed.
Absolutely, yes. Uh-huh. Yeah, and we've agreed to it good and bad, and we've agreed to the lessons. And I think once you surrender, like you talked about earlier, and I talk about this a lot when I do my spiritual services, of which you've been a part of many, and I'm so appreciative that you've brought your soul to those. You know, the last few of my sermons have been very much about this idea of surrender, that we need to, we're actually damaging ourselves on a cellular level by refusing to surrender. And all this fear we have of being out of control right now, of not having any power. The truth is you never have more control of your life or more power than when you surrender. Because as long as you refuse, it's like people who are so scared to take a deep breath, but they're actually hurting themselves by taking shallow breaths and they feel like they can't breathe. I mean, it's, you know,
okay.
What I mean? The relaxing,
let me tell you,
and
something.
Surrendering. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to confess my recent, for me personally, talking about surrender. I've been doing this thing called Noom. I don't know if you know what it is, Noom, but it's incredible.
Yes,
it's this incredible platform, and I really appreciate it, and I love the community. And I reached a plateau where I just wasn't letting go of my fluff. You know, I just wasn't letting go of my fat. And I'm, you know, I'm 60 now, so it was like, you know, I really want, not for just vanity's sake, no, just for health's sake, because, you know, when you carry more than you need, you, as you know more than anybody, you are just careening into a lot of other issues. And I really am not keen to have any of them. I don't want any of them. I don't want Alzheimer's.
Sure.
I don't want heart disease. I don't want cancer, whatever. I would like to not have to have that experience. But, hey, you know, I'm up to whatever the universe wants. But still, I'm going to do my part.
Sure.
Anyway, long story longer, I started to panic. I started to really panic recently. And I started to think I'm just genetically flawed
and that's that. And I gave up. Sheena, I sat down and just wept, and I gave up. And I said to my higher self, I said, "Hey, I can't do this. I'm not winning, and I don't know what to do." And all of a sudden, a couple days later, something came up on my YouTube thing, and I love YouTube because I think it's mystical. And it was one doctor and one guy named Dr. Jason Fung, and his whole thing is about fasting. And I was like, "Oh, you can't fast because it'll just wreck your metabolism." Well, that one little Dr. Jason Fung thing turned me on to high intensity health, and I've already been following Peter Attia. Anyway, long story longer, I've been going through and learning. So everything I thought about my metabolism, everything I thought about my insulin, everything I thought about my body was basically archaic, outdated, and wrong.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And it's completely turned me around. And I just got to say sometimes, so for me, this has been my recent place where I feel like a failure has been just in understanding my form, understanding how does my body work. And these three guys, Mike Mutzel from High Intensity Health and Dr. Jason Fung, I just want to put a shout out to the universe to them.
Sure.
And Peter Attia. These three geniuses have re-educated me so that I can actually feel like my body is not a runaway train that I cannot understand. I now feel thoroughly clear on how it works, how to deal with it. And mainly it's like, you know, intermittent fasting and just being kinder to this machine, because in our society, we're told you have to eat 3 times or 6 times or 8 times a day. You have to, otherwise your metabolism stops. And all the stuff that we've learned is all wrong. To avoid sugar. How can you live a life and not eat sugar? I mean, all the things we've learned are wrong. So anyway, I just want to say just to the universe, thank you. You answered my question. You came to my rescue, and I love you for this.
I feel like the universe comes to my rescue on a perpetual basis. I mean, I feel like when I really ask for the answers, I get them. But it's a surrender, and it's a right on. It's a living in the now. It really is living in presence, and there are downfalls to that. I have to keep the channel open all the time, allow myself to crust over and become a crusty person. I have to find the beauty in things, even when they're ugly. I mean, it's a lot. It's like worse than any diet I've ever been on. But once you get there, it's kind of the most beautiful thing that's ever happened, because you just sort of let spirit guide you. And I always, when I talk to clients about it, I always sort of use the analogy that you walk your path, right? And you know that this God energy that is so much bigger and wiser and more perfect than you kind of holds your hand and walks with you, so you're absolutely never alone. And it kind of reminds me of how I was never scared when my mother was there. It's, you know, as long as she was there, I was never, even when she was like 80 and could barely walk, I was never scared when she was there. And I think that's what you have to learn to remember with higher power. We never have to be scared, because we are being protected. And if things happen that are tough, it's because we're learning and we're growing. And this is soul school. And in school, you don't like all the tests, and you don't like all the teachers, and you don't like all the lessons. And some of it's boring, and some of it's awful, and some of it sucks. But there's always beauty at the other end. And you just have to remember that, because we've become so jaded and so believing of all this negativity that we read on the internet, that everything's rotten and it's all for nothing and we're all going to die and all the Republicans and Democrats are going to kill each other. And, you know, somebody's sitting around somewhere loving the idea that twisting their mustache and adjusting their bowler hat, right, and loving the idea that we're all going to tear each other apart. And that's darkness, and we can't feed into that.
Well, I have to tell you, it can be, yes, yes. And I used to believe that if you didn't eat, you would die. Your body would shut down.
Right.
And that's not true. I used to believe that if you, you know, if you didn't, I used to believe that I had to eat my food. Like, I have an issue with chewing. Chewing my food. I notice when I chew my food, and this is going to sound so stupid and weird because most people chew their food, I notice I don't really chew my food. I have a couple of chews, maybe 3 or 4, and it gets swallowed. And apparently, Sheena, this is going to sound so probably so basic to you or to anyone else listening, but you need to chew your food a lot.
Yeah.
Because it tells the brain, it gets the brain, it tells your hormones what's coming. Your brain then tells other parts of your body what's coming. And the more you chew, the more your body releases these incredible digestive juices. And the more you chew after that, the more these juices get stronger so that whatever's coming down into the system can be met with a committee. And when you don't chew your food, this is going to sound so simple to anybody else, and I'm sure people are laughing right now, but when you don't chew your food in quiet and at least 20 times, your food is met with maybe half a porter, half a person, half a juice, and it gets shunted, and then it gets shuttled into usually your fat stores. And so I'm 60 years old, and I'm just learning this lesson, to take my time and chew my food.
Yeah.
Doesn't that sound
and
so
basic? And
the
fasting is a good thing, right? I've always had the most success with my weight when I fasted. And I remember
it's
people yelling at me about, don't fast, you have to eat every 15 minutes.
Nope. It's the only way to love, for me personally, it's the only way for me to corral and love my insulin response, because my insulin is I'm very insensitive to insulin from years and years and years of overfeeding and not giving myself a break. Because the truth is, here we go again to that surrender place of, I have trauma that is based around not having, because when we were young kids, Tommy Chong was struggling. So we were food insecure. We were shelter insecure, even though Maxine supported everybody. She's a saint. But we were food insecure. We were shelter insecure at times. And so, you know, And so those early days are imprinted. They're imprinted. And so here I am at 60, really getting that, not only learning the lesson that I can take a break, I can give my body a rest. It's just a rest. I'm still drinking and having, you know, my electrolytes and enough, you know, enough liquid. But I'm also noticing that I am shedding. And the feeling I'm getting as I go down to what I consider my fighting good weight, which is healthier, all of a sudden I'm rediscovering things and feelings that I didn't know that I had suppressed with food.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I find when I fast, even just at night, I work better, I get more done, I'm clearer, I'm in a better mood, I sleep better. I mean, there's something to me about that. You know, the idea that indigenous peoples, right, they fast on a vision quest, right? They fast for clarity. Mm-hmm. And it really does work when you're not over polluting your body with a whole bunch of stuff. You're allowed to thrive.
I'm working on a job right now. I can't really talk about what it is because it's a pretty swanky big job. But I'm working on a job right now, and one of the producers, because of COVID and because of the way the protocols are set up, we don't have a lot of food around the set, and it's on a studio lot. And I mean, there's food you can get, but it's a big deal. And so basically, we're fasting, and that's what started me. I got to tell you, to be honest, I panicked. I had a panic. I panicked to the point where I had to look at it. I panicked so bad that I went home and had an anxiety-ridden meltdown. And that's when I knew I had to do something. I had to look at it. I had to sit with it. I had to ask for help. And I had to get my shit together. Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
And
that's a shock, right? Because sets are usually full of food.
Not now.
Food is everywhere.
COVID.
Yeah.
Not now. It's the absolute opposite, because foods, you can, you know, it's not hygienic. So none of the things that, no, sets do not look like anything they ever looked at like before. Now they're just like these hazmat, you know, it's so intense. Nope, 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 nope. And it comes, your food comes in this strange way, and you're isolated and you have to eat alone. It's just the creepiest. I mean, I'm so grateful to be working, and I'm so delighted. But it's also just like, oh, my God, this is so weird.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
everything, right? Everything is so strange. Everything is not, there is not the same communal, in-person communal experience right now. So we're all sort of having to learn to babysit ourselves and all of the things that we used to do to avoid having to look inside ourselves has now been taken away. So we have to look inside ourselves. And I think that's one of the reasons it's been a very hard year for a lot of folks, right? You can't just sit in the bar anymore. You can't just, you know, go to the bowling alley, sit in the stadium, run away, go to the public pool. Like, all that stuff is gone.
No.
So you have to just sit inside of yourself.
Be with your friends. Yeah. A lot of alone.
A lot of learning to interact. And you're stuck with your immediate family, your nuclear family, which means you have to talk to your partners and your kids and...
I don't know how you guys are doing, but we sometimes my boyfriend and I laugh because we've never in a million years. I mean, first of all, we are super compatible, praise to God. But sometimes I'm like, I tell him you have to go to your room because I need to be in my space and I just need 3 hours of none of it. Just to go over there,
right?
Just because it's like
right, and I think we're lucky because I don't officially live there. I still have my place, and I'm fixing up my house down here that I inherited down at the beach. We're together a lot. I mean, I would say 2/3 of the week we're together. Again, we're very compatible. It's weird because we got together 6 weeks before the lockdown started. So we don't know much. Like, she's met my two best friends. I haven't really met any of her friends. Like, we don't have any, there's no, do you know what I mean? I think she met my two best friends, and then like you gotta pass the test of these two queens or this isn't happening. So that happened right away. But we don't, you know, we're mostly, and me having never been a mom, now I have three adolescent children that I pretty much spend all my time with. And kind of been this really amazing, beautiful thing. I'm kind of loving being a spirit mom. And loving these wonderful, exciting people whose whole lives are ahead of them and all brilliantly talented in their own ways. And, and just having fun. I don't think, and I don't know if I've talked to you about this, I don't think I have spent this much time at home, even though my practice has never been so busy. And I've never had this much family time, but I don't think I've ever spent this much time at home. Probably since I was 14 was the last time that I had this much at home time. I always used to laugh. I had two houses and I was never in either of them. And now I'm actually at home and man, it feels good. And I'm loving now doing my radio shows online. I'm going to start a television interview show and do it online. And I'm kind of I'm loving it all. I'm loving just being able to feel like I can exhale and not always having to be somewhere. I think it's been really good for people because I think we're hidden in a lot of that.
There's
we're
less
hidden
out
in the what
more,
kind of clothes are we wearing and what does our hair look like and where do we get our next mani-pedi. And I think in a lot of ways we've hidden from the things that are really important by focusing on all of that.
Yeah.
And now we kind of just have to go soul to soul with people. Which I think is amazing. And you know what? Lynn and I talk about it a lot. My girlfriend and I talk, we're like, what's going to happen when the world opens up again? Because we're going to have to learn how to be people out in the world.
People
are just going to learn how to be people together.
It's going to be phenomenal. People are just going to go crazy. It's going to be the roaring 20s.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
going to be insane.
People are going to it's going to be wild. I mean, I think we still have another year before that happens, but a year and a half, but. I think it's going to be wild. It's going to be like super fun.
You think a year and a half until the masks come off?
Yeah, I think about a year and a half. I think we still have another year of just being safe. And then it's just going to go berserk.
It's going to be insane. It's going to be a boom for every industry. It's going to be an amazing time.
Yeah.
But even now, look how things are surviving, right? You're on a set. Things are getting made. I have friends that are working.
It's like,
I mean,
I've
it's
never
not...
work. And, you know, yeah. And I've never felt, personally as an artist, I've never felt more, I feel much more connected in a way to myself and my inner power than I've ever felt before. And not, because, you know, they say pride cometh before the fall. I don't want to be prideful,
yeah.
So I just want to put that out into the universe. But I'm just saying I'm appreciating where I'm working
yes.
from, because I'm absolutely
yes.
open to what I need to do, what I need to learn. You know, I have a big question mark. I'm so keen. And I'm super grateful. Every day I wake up.
Yes. Oh, God, me too.
And I go to
bed. Me too. And also, when it was my
birthday, I had a birthday cake. As I was blowing out the candles, my wish was that everyone gets their wish, that everyone's
yes.
dreams come true.
Isn't that beautiful? Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. And it's been a strange year, right? Because for a lot of folks, this has been a very horrifying year. And I have so much sympathy and empathy for them. Again, I remember you and I sitting, you coming down to do my spiritual service, and we weren't quite sure if we were supposed to social distance or not. There was just, it had just begun, right? It was March of last year.
Mm-hmm.
We weren't officially
mm-hmm.
in lockdown yet, but we almost mm-hmm. were. And it was a kind of an interesting time. And I had saved a little money up that I was going to use to fix up my mom's house to make it livable. I mean, it's not
mm-hmm.
unlivable, but, you know, put some paint, some floors in. And I stopped and said, I'm not going to do this, because I was quite sure that my work was going to end because of COVID.
Did,
and honestly, the truth is it boomed. And because, you know, Lynn's
yeah.
a psychotherapist, so her work boomed as well. So we've been very
right.
fortunate that there has been a lot of work
right.
at a time where it hasn't always been that way for people. And I know it was hard on folks in the industry, in the entertainment industry. That part of my life completely died. But then it, like a phoenix from the ashes, it came back. I mean, I sometimes feel like I'm
right.
that cat that just keeps crawling out of the grave and coming back for another life. And you know
funny.
What I mean? Going full bore spiritual brought this. And I don't know. I'm just so grateful all the time, even during this time. But it was a shift.
Do you know the Witch's Almanac? Do you know that? Do you know
do.
About the
uh-huh.
Witch's Almanac? I get
I
it
do.
Every year. And I love it. It's one of my favorite things. I learn. I marvel at how much I learned from the Witch's Almanac. It's just, I almost don't know what life would be like without it, and I hope they never stop making it. But do you know what a lodestone is? I'm sure you do.
I do, yes.
And I feel like this is the year where I feel like any kind of trauma creates like a spiritual lodestone in which it is the thing. Particularly in our case, with everyone, with people losing their jobs, losing their lives, losing their family, you know, whatever it is that you, it creates a, like a lodestone, a magnetic center. And so I feel like this trauma of COVID and the shutdown and the upside downness of it has created for all of us something with which we can vibrate and radiate from. And marvel at the things that have come through it.
Yes. Yes, I agree. I mean, I think there are things in my life, and I don't know if you're like this, but I hold on to things. And it's something I've learned to do less of as I've gotten older, but it's been a big lesson for me. I always say, like, I could eat the same thing every day. I wish I'd met my soulmate when I was 16. I could be best friends with somebody from childhood and not want anybody else. It was always people leaving my life. I never left.
Right.
This year has removed out of my life, Radon, a lot of things that I needed to get rid of that I wouldn't have gotten rid of if it hadn't been for this.
Oh, how wonderful.
And that's
and yet...
a gift, right? That's a spirit gift.
Yeah.
I felt a little like the bandage had been ripped off for a couple of months in the spring, but inevitably it turned out to be a wonderful thing. And so thankful to be here at Life Paranormal with such wonderful people in such a wonderful place with this great syndication, and to be everywhere I'd always wanted to be, Stitcher and iHeart and Google Podcasts, and to have somebody really kind of extend the little olive branch of come and be part of our family. You know, this is a peaceful place.
I love that.
That's all
that's
I've
so
ever, you know me, all I ever want is to be a part of a family. And so thankful to be a part of Metropolitan Community Church and the Founders Group, the Founders Church there. Another family, right? It's all about what can we do to make you feel like family. And I think that if there's one thing we're learning during COVID, it's that we need to emphasize more on family. And that doesn't mean necessarily your biological family. It means the people that you have chosen to be your soul pod in this incarnation. That is the most important thing in your life. When people want to be family, that is the most important thing I think there is.
Yes. Yes.
And that's my favorite thing about being an artist is family. It's my favorite thing about being a spiritual practitioner is family. It's my favorite thing about being a minister is family. My favorite thing about being radio host is my radio family. I mean, you can find family everywhere. You just got to know where to look, and you just have to be open to it. You know, I'm thankful that you're my family.
Thank you. I was just saying thank you for that. Thank you. Yes. Yes, yes, I consider you my family. You're the big sister who takes care of everything.
Yep, I sure do. Yeah, that's my job.
So
you are wonderful, my friend. Thank you for being here. Where can people find you and grab some of your wisdom? And will you do this again? I would absolutely love it.
I have a YouTube, Ray Don Chong YouTube, where I read Pathwork lectures for free. I don't comment on them because I'm not officially a Pathwork helper, but I read the lectures, and you can start at lecture one, and I believe my next one's 18. And you can find me at Instagram, Real Radon Chong, and of course Facebook, Radon Chong. So that's pretty much my extent of the platform. And I just love you so much. You are doing.
I love
you.
You
are.
Too.
I will see you guys, and I can't wait to meet everyone, and I love you.
I love you too, sweetheart. I can't wait for you to come back and do this with me again, and I'm so honored that you were here to be one of my first guests here. Thank you so much.
Be safe, wear a mask, and have fun.
Absolutely.
Bye.
My beautiful friend, Radon Chong, everybody. So wonderful to have her here. Thank you, Radon, for being amazing. Please look her up and listen to her wisdom. Isn't she something? I'll tell you, every time I put her up, on the pulpit at my spiritual service, SaturdayNightSpiritual.com. I'm a staff pastor at the Founders MCC Church in Hollywood. Everybody is like, who was that? I'm like, I know, right? Amazing. So honored to be here with all of you today. You can find us at LiveParanormal.com. I'm honored to be a part of this family at RaisingTheVibrationRadio.com. That's for this show. At SheenaMetalSpiritual.com. That's my website. 9 o'clock tonight, I'm doing the video companion. I do 3 video web series for Live Paranormal's video channel. Tonight at 9 o'clock, I will be there. It's called I Am Raising Your Vibration. I'll be doing answering spiritual, paranormal, psychic questions, doing some psychic readings for free, and a little psychic and spiritual advice. Whatever it is you need, we commune. It's a healing circle. It's wonderful. It's at facebook.com/TheLiveParanormal. And please join me there at IamRaisingYourVibration.com. That's the companion series. Tomorrow I'm back for my Haunted Playground radio show right here on the Live Paranormal radio channel, and that is Wednesdays at 6 o'clock p.m. Pacific time right here on LA Talk Radio. I'm back right out here at LiveParanormal.com, and I'll be back where I am. And slowly but surely I'm taking all of my shows previously at LA Talk Radio, as I was about to say, and moving them over to the Live Paranormal channel. And maybe even an exciting brand new show might be in the works for next month, and I'll let you know more about that. Next is to move over my Sheena Metal Experience show, which the Live Paranormal folks and I are working on. Thank you for being so patient about the shift over to this wonderful new place during this crazy year. I'm the luckiest girl in the world to be part of the Live Paranormal family. So for those of you looking for my radio shows, they're coming. Here's where they are. Seek peace, live in love, lead with kindness, embrace unity, raise your vibration. I'm Sheena Metal. I'm a psychic medium at SheenaMetalSpiritual.com. I love you all, and I'll see you next time.